Welcome to this podcast series from Barlow McCarthy. We're sharing ideas from physician relations leaders across the country about the deployment of their teams, the work they are doing, and the insights they're learning with COVID-19. Now here is today's interview.
This is Susan Boydell with Barlow McCarthy, and today I'm joined with Brad Jones. Brad is the Director of Physician Relations for Advent Health West Florida Division. He has a team of about 12 liaisons, plus he has four EMS representatives and even a dedicated imaging rep. With such a large team, one of the challenges is keeping the team engaged and trying to manage the whole toll it might be taking on their well-being. So today, we'd love to just get Brad's thoughts and insights on how he's kind of handling that with the team. And so with that, welcome, Brad.
Hey, well, thank you, Susan. How's everything going?
Well, we're all managing to get through this. Isn't that the truth? So I'm curious, how's your team doing during all this time of change?
So I'll say that at the beginning, when I first started leading this team, I played a video montage by Jocko Willink, who's a leadership consultant and former Navy SEAL. And the video I played, it's called Good, and it's on YouTube. And what he talks about in this video is kind of when you have a setback or a change of plans, to look at it with the term good, and then look at what that opportunity presents to itself. So I remember one of the examples is that, you know, obviously he's talking in Navy SEAL language, but hey, the mission got canceled tonight, and then his friend's good, more time to train. So I'm taking that same type of approach to our team and say, listen, our normal business operations are impacted. Good. What can we do to contribute to the organization directly, and then moving forward in the future? Because eventually we'll get past this situation and we'll be back focused on growing and establishing our business.
I absolutely love that. What you're even sharing is, you know, we've said that to so many teams, like, think about it. You now have time to do all that stuff that you said, I just don't have time for it. And now you have time for it. I'm curious, what are you doing to like keep them engaged? I mean, it's hard to stay focused when so much is going on. So thoughts that you're doing with the team to keep them engaged and involved and feel like they're growing?
Yeah, so that's probably the hardest thing, right? So we are all wired, right, to be in the field moving at 1,000 miles per hour. Now most of us are working remote in either makeshift offices, or we're spending a lot of time at home that we're traditionally not accustomed to. So there's a couple of things that we've done, right? It's really making sure we're focusing on meaningful and purposeful project work. So things that maybe have been on the back burner, or things that we've been working towards getting to, is making sure that becomes a priority. The second thing is to keep everyone engaged. We're doing 3 times a week video conference calls. So we're using it as a way to increase communication, but really just to have that social touch point, so we still have a sense of team and what we're doing. And then the third thing is allowing the team to find ways to contribute in their own right. So we have a couple people on our team that are volunteering hours at the hospital in either clinical or operational roles. So like one of our team members has stepped into an emergency management position for full time during this situation, or to help assist with that process. We have someone else that's recently helped with transport within the hospital. And those are just a couple of high level examples of trying to navigate, find usefulness, but then also what do you learn by doing those type of activities, right? So what, now that we have this little pause, what can we do? What are we learning? What benefit can we share back to either organization or our team? And then also making sure that when we do get back to normal operations, that we will be prepared and ready to start at that moment, and understand that that window, there will be a difference because it will be restarting back up, right? So there'll be a lot of built up case demand, both from surgery and medical components, but then also how do we communicate effectively with our physician partners, our employee physicians, and our different office staff, and then how do we leverage that to move that forward so everyone is ready to help our patients and our communities.
You know, you bring up a really, really good point, because yes, this will end at some point. Will our worlds look very different? Well, probably. Do we know exactly what that will be? Probably not. But the whole piece in preparing for what's about to come, because think about it, all those elective cases are just sitting there and waiting, and what that looks like. Are there some specific things that your team is doing related to that right now? Any examples you might share?
So what we've been doing in terms of elective case, like preparation, I guess, for when this does pick back up, right? And so we've contacted all the surgery schedulers at all the offices, established kind of like what the protocols will be. Obviously, they're subject to change as we get closer to all this, you know, depending on what the length of this looks like, right? And also we looked at the trend. So what are some of the, because elective procedures come in a lot of different components, and everyone within that elective procedure category have different needs, right? So really trying to work with our clinical and medical leaders to identify, all right, so what are some of maybe the, if lack of a better term of saying it, maybe a little more of the critical elective procedures that we need to focus on initially and then move to some of the, you know, longer term elective procedures. But obviously, that's a lot of clinical judgment within that, and we have to defer to our physicians and hospital clinical leadership to help determine that. But at least make sure we're establishing that communication now, so when that point comes, we're comfortable communicating through what that looks like. And then also making sure on the flip side is a lot of our frontline clinical staff and physicians, they're having a really being tasked with a lot right now. And to make sure that we're there for them. So like, what does that look like when we get back to normal operations? And then how do we support them in the interim? And then how do we support, our OR teams or our cath lab teams when we do get back up? And I would say there's a lot still to be determined on that. I would always love to hear if anyone has any thoughts around that. But those are kind of like what we are working through and communicating through right now.
You know, what you're describing so much is it's the phases we go through. So that whole piece of this elective surgery piece and how you're calling up and talking to all those surgery schedulers, it's like another point of communication that's going to be important as a next step. Probably a week ago, maybe even 2 days ago, that wasn't on anybody's mind, but we will get there. And so there's a phasing of this and that whole piece of communication. So you're absolutely right. You don't know what it's going to look like, but it's how you're preparing and adapting the team as all of that moves forward. I love that. That's really, really good stuff. The other thing you said earlier was that you doing the 3 times a week video conferencing. I'm guessing that that's a way for everyone to be able to see each other and feel connected. Right. You hear so much about that out on social media, about how groups of friends and all of that, how that's just become now how we connect with each other. So I really love that. And having it be important to be a social touch point. I'm curious, Brad, what are you doing to take care of yourself? Because you're leading it. You're kind of at the front line of it for your team. What's that look like for you?
So that's a great question. So I am blessed to have a really strong leadership team around me as well, like to both my direct leader and then our group's direct leader have both been incredibly supportive. And I would say there's 3 main aspects I've been focused on, right? Is first understanding kind of like, or at least attempting or trying to get a better grasp of our new, interim reality that we're living in. And then talking with other leaders about how they're deploying their teams on a remote work site process and still continue to be effective. The second thing is, making sure we're there emotionally supporting everyone or communicating and encouraging everyone to do what they need to get done. It's very easy, at a moment during the day for us all to just, we're at home or in, a comfortable known surrounding. How does that impact us? And then some of us, there's multiple different family dynamics at play. Like earlier I was on a call and my 19-month-old son was banging on the door outside, or the door into my office, which is both adorable, but he doesn't know. He doesn't understand why his dad's home in the middle of the day, right? But the cool thing is everyone understands that and it makes like a really cool connection when those type of things happen, whenever you might hear kids in the background or, there's family dynamics in play, like where maybe, a spouse is home or something like that. And how do we support each other that? And then I think the third kind of thing that we're really focused on is making sure that, so Advent Health is a very strong faith-based organization, right? And then how and when do we use our faith-based focus to really motivate, inspire, but also care for one another, right? And I think that's something that, that we live on a consistent daily basis within our organization, but every organization has that similar component, right? How do we look at the human level of how are we doing things, and give people the right amount of, like, you know, flexibility or freedom to deal with what they may be in front of. And what I mean is that many of us have either friends, family, or people we know that are being impacted from a job standpoint, from a healthcare standpoint. And so how do we help those people either recover or get the support they need, or else what can we do as a team or in a larger whole to make sure that everyone is just maintaining the strongest sense of normalcy that they possibly can during this time?
That is all really, really great stuff. That I love your example of your son knocking on the door. It right. kind of gives us you think about that. That's our real life right now. Plus, we kind of get to see the rest of somebody's whole part of who they are. I mean, family's really right. so important. So that's really great. I am curious. So you said earlier on that you kind of were reaching out because you had a really good leadership network around you that's helped through this piece of it, and that you were learning how others in the organization were deploying their teams. Was there one key takeaway that you learned out of that, or something from that said, hey, I'm going to do that with my team, or something we're sharing for others?
So I would just say there's two things. So the first is something more functional, right? Which is to make sure that there's a lot more like personal time and calls going on. Like, I always try to talk to everyone on my team at least once per week on the phone. Usually it's either driving between hospitals, or maybe it's, you know, commuting in and out of the office, but just make sure there's frequent touch points. But now, you know, making sure that a lot of the focus, as opposed to just being about, you know, business and some personal, now where I'm leading more with, you know, personal or meaningful connection. And then we're talking about what's kind of going on in the business. But I think the overall takeaway is that everyone is trying to figure out what they're doing and how to do it. And there is no playbook. There is really no precedent to how to be effective in this environment when you go from a field-based organization to a, you know, kind of a, you know, home-based organization. And how are we adjusting? So it's just requiring lots of constant feedback, flexibility, adjustments, and you said earlier, adaptability, right? So really making sure that our team is focused on being adaptable at all times.
That whole piece on that personal time, I think that says so much about people's well-being and taking care of that part of it, because you're absolutely right. You know, most field people, we all know this, the last thing we want to do is sit at a desk. So now we're making you kind of sit for and not be able to be out talking in front of people. So you've given a lot of really great suggestions, a lot of really good ideas that I think people will just love to hear. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you wish we would have or were sharing?
Well, I would just say that this is a good time for you take advantage of this to really reset, like, the way that we are approaching our business, right? So with a pause, right? Even though none of us ask for it, it's really just make sure that we're all evaluating what we're doing. Are our teams set up? Do they have the right tools that they have? That they need? Are we engaging in the right way with both our internal leaders, our external leaders, our physician customers? And just do an evaluation, because how often do we get this type of pause in our careers? Not to mention, you know, everyone's kind of in this together, right? So what can we do and evaluate and then move forward with when this all returns to a more normal state?
I think that is a great piece of advice to leave everybody with. I love that. To just take a pause and take advantage of that, because we might not ever get that chance again. And you're really, really right. So, well, thank you so much, Brad. It was all really good information. And you continue to take care of yourself, take care of your team, take care of your organization, and especially all those patients that really need Advent Health. So thank you.
Thank you, Susan. You're always good to talk to you.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's podcast. For follow-up and feedback, join us on the LinkedIn group we've created called COVID-19 and Physician Relations. If you have topics of interest, or better yet, an idea to share with your colleagues, feel free to send us an email at info@barlamccarthy.com.